Yeah, King mayonnaise, bro. King mayo. Oof. Rough week for the boy.
My man's the big meme right now on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Big meme. Hello and welcome back to the Second and Two podcast. I'm your host, TB. I've got my co-host, producer extraordinaire, hat connoisseur. He's back, Jody. What up, Joe?
What's good, bro? How you been? It's been a solid week since we last spoke. I mean, we might have sent a text up here and there between then and now and then, but you know, in general, since we're speaking face to face in a way, it's been a minute.
Yeah, bro. It has, and you know what? It's probably mostly my fault. I'm busier this year than I was last year. It's crazy to say because I was busy last year, right? But
definitely
busier this year than I ever have been. And my fault. I barely even talked to anybody on my birthday.
Yeah, no, I mean, you might want to check your mic real quick. You're cutting in and out for me, but yeah, no, birthday came out, bro. I missed Jared's birthday, so shout out Jared, you know where you're at, you know what I mean. I seen it a day late and I was like, well, I can't be the guy that says happy belated, you know what I mean. I'd rather hit it on the day, so felt bad on that one. But yeah, I meant to bring that up last week for your birthday, but missed that one. I hit you on your birthday though. I gotta give myself some sort of knowledge, so I mean, that's better late than never, I guess.
I'm having technical difficulties right now.
No, yeah, you're good. You want me to get into some news real quick, or do you want to wait to get in?
Hit it.
All right, yeah, so some news we got. As you can see, I got the Rams hat on going to the game this weekend versus the Niners. And both dudes are a little banged up, you know what I mean? The Rams, Cooper Kupp got hurt. Our guy Puka got hurt week one. We got some lineman issues as well. They're all here and there. Jonah Jackson, Steve Avila, JJ the third. I couldn't tell you who that is, but it's on the notes. And the Niners, they got Debo hurt. Christian McCaffrey's on IR. I guess should have said the same for Puka. And George Kittle got hurt last week. And so we'll see who's even playing this weekend. It'll be a whole new crew. Tutu on the field. Our guy, Tyler Johnson, I believe is his name. Young gun. So we'll see what happens Saturday or Sunday.
My apologies on the technical difficulties. Sometimes my little, if you have Apple products, you understand the struggle of having to buy the thing that plugs into your USB-C and then so everything else plugs into that. And then sometimes it just like, it's a little finicky, you know, that's what was going on with me. But,
that's the reason right here. I got this 10-year-old laptop from Apple because it has it has two USBs, an HDMI, of course, the charger, some plug-in, I think, for the SD cards that, you know, kind of irrelevant now, but that's why that thing's kicking still for me.
Yeah. And in reference to JJ3, that's John Johnson the third, the safety for the Rams.
There you go.
Who's going to be out. But yeah, so Rams 49ers, interesting game this weekend. Both teams are really banged up. Both teams have their starting quarterback, but banged up on offense at the skill positions and then for the Rams up front as well. So that should be an interesting game. Speaking of the Rams, we're talking about teams here that fell to 0-2, a surprising 0-2.
True.
Ravens, Bengals, Rams. Of those three, Jody, which one surprises you the most that they're 0-2 right now?
I would probably say the Ravens. I mean, they played the Raiders last week, got snubbed at the end, kind of. Tough game week one versus the Chiefs, but, you know, it happens. A rematch of the AFC champ. Championship. Bengals, I don't think they started with Williams. I mean, so we'll see. I mean, we had the Cardinals last week. Week one, we had the Lions, and who knows, man. We just got to get healthy. We're going to be a a late shining team again. That's how my fantasy team's right now too.
No.
No, you're good. I'll get into it a little bit about my fantasy team. So, week one, Jordan Love, man goes down. All right, week two, let's start Tua. Oh man, that guy goes down too. We have Puka starting week one. Well, he's on IR. I got TJ Hockenson already on my injured list because I was like, I'm going to stash him. Well, let's see who else is out. I got one other dude. Let me double check before I mess this up. But
so you're saying you're the Rams of fantasy football right now.
Very true. Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying. For my league, I think that costs the most. So it's kind of tough. And the worst part about it is my name is Nakua Matata. So I just got to, I just can't worry about my team right now. Yeah. Oh, I think I dropped some of the dudes that were hurt because I got a whole new squad on my bench. But yeah, I it was bad. I'd look at my bench and say they're all 4 weeks from now, I might be good again. But right now, not the case.
You know, that's unfortunate. I feel bad for you, but you know that's the price you pay for playing fantasy football, my man.
It's okay. My teams are terrible. I'm 1-2 in two leagues, and the other or my bad, 1-1. I don't know how that works.
1-1.
Yeah. Okay. 1-1 in two leagues, and the other ones
2 weeks.
The other ones I'm 0-2. It's because okay. I add them as a whole because there's three teams. Oh, so I always, okay. 1-2 each week, 1-1 game, lost.
Got it.
That's where I lost my train of thought.
You mentioned Tua. So speaking of Tua, Tua has gone to IR. We talked about him a little bit on last week's pod. The game had just happened when we talked last week.
Yep.
So we won't see him for at least 4 weeks. We'll see if it's longer. Very interesting conversation surrounding that this week. You know, people asking for him to retire. Yeah. Tua has come out and said he's not retiring. I kind of figured, and I think I said on this podcast last week that I didn't think he would. So we'll see what happens with that. Once again, though, prayers up for Tua, and we're hoping he's doing better. And we'll see what happens with him, you know, in terms of how long it takes for him to come off the IR and play again, if that's going to be the case this year. And other quarterback news, the Panthers, they benched Bryce Young.
Yep. Yeah, you kind of stole my Boo Boo Evans award right there. A little spoiler. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was the exact reason why.
I think it's a questionable decision at this point in time.
Yeah, you let him roll a whole year, and then you're like, you know.
Well, here's the thing, right? Like, if you look at the whole situation, it's been pretty mismanaged all the way around, right? Like,
very true.
One pick. You're supposed to have this great infrastructure. You know, come to find out, you know, they fire the head coach middle of the season.
Yeah.
Comes in with a new head coach. You're supposed to build it all around him, but then you don't play him in the preseason, like at all. And then he plays for two games, and you're like, we got to bench him. Like, yes, the two games were bad. But it doesn't really feel like you gave the kid a new chance, another chance with a new head coach, right? Yeah. So
just not enough tape.
It doesn't feel like this is a permanent benching to me, is what I'm saying. Feels like
But what happens if they win games with Andy Dalton? Then you're like, you know what, bring him back? Or do you just roll Andy Dalton?
No, you roll Andy Dalton. Feels a lot like the Tua and Ryan Fitzpatrick saga from a few years ago with the Dolphins.
I get you. Yeah, no, I mean, I would say you probably, like you said, keep rolling Andy Dalton. It's working. But that's a tough look for your young gun, too, where you're like, yeah, we rolled with him for a year. Team wasn't rallying around him. Now we got this guy, vet, and now we're back on top or whatever, you know what I mean?
Dude, it's tough sledding over here right now. My port is just...
I know. It's funny because I could hear your mic would go in and out, and then it switches to your headphones, and I just see your arms moving like, I got to keep it right.
It's so touchy, man. Like, and sometimes
you can tell it's all good right now. My setup's all good. But like, I might just move forward, and I swear it just like. But anyway, yeah, it reminds me a lot of I don't know if you were able to hear me or not, but it reminds me a lot of the Fitzpatrick. Yeah, where you're gonna go back and forth a little bit. I don't think Bryce Young's career is over in the NFL. I think, like I said, I don't even think his career is over with the Panthers. I think he'll probably play again this season. But hopefully for his sake, it's more of a break for him than it is a true, like, we're moving on. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens with that. And then the last but not least, teams that are, you know, maybe kind of not surprising, but like really good looking 2-0 that maybe most people would not have anticipated. The Chargers, the Bucks, and the Steelers, right? Three teams that are 2-0 right now that I think a lot of people are feeling. I mean, you had the Steelers going 0-17, so it's truly surprising for you because they're 2-0 right now.
Yeah.
The Chargers were a sneaky playoff team for me. I told everyone Harbaugh was going to get those dudes rolling quickly. Out of those three teams, the Bucks to me are the most surprising. I kind of had not, you know, any stock I'd had in the Bucks, I kind of let go of. I mean, last year, you remember, I was skeptical of them the whole season. Mm-hmm. Made it to the divisional round. And so even with all that evidence that they were a good football team with Baker Mayfield, and I like Baker Mayfield, all that being said, I just hadn't really considered the Bucks a real playoff contender, and I hadn't taken them real seriously. And they've started the season right, and they're 2-0.
You know what it is? I think Baker just needed to be in Florida. Florida, man. Does well in NFC South. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. But good for Baker. Good for the Bucks. Good for the Steelers. You know, Justin Fields, not looking too shabby.
I was gonna say until we see T.J. Watt go down, if ever. I don't want him to be hurt. But if that's the case, then we'll start seeing those losses come in because that's how it's always been. He gets hurt. I don't know, week 8, and then it's like.
Don't tell my uncle that. Don't tell my uncle that now. Right.
Spoiler, I know it's already been said, but don't listen, Uncle Tom. I've been a doubter since the beginning. You know that. So if you just ignore what I say, you're doing good.
All right. So it's time for awards. It's awards week, week 2. Tukwa, Gamer of the Week award given to the biggest gamer of the week. Jody, yeah. Who's your guy?
All right, so this one I had the pleasure of playing in two of my leagues this week in fantasy, so I had to reap the issues of what he did. So Alvin Kamara got balled out. 20 carries, 115 yards. The 5 and some change of carry. Almost 5.1, a little less. We got 3 tutties with that. We got 2 catches for 65 yards and another tutty. My dude had 44 fantasy points. Just went nutty. His first 2 touchdowns was 2 carries for like 6 yards and 2 touchdowns. I was like, my game's chalked already. I can't compete with this. But yeah, Alvin Kamara went crazy versus the Cowboys, who we said had a great defense. So the Saints over there looking nice. They be marching.
All right. This guy, my gamer of the week, I think you're gonna bring up a little bit later in our last segment, but that's Marvin Harrison Jr. This man had 4 catches, 130 yards, and 2 mm-hmm. touchdowns. And guess what? It all happened in the first quarter.
Crazy.
Because they were winning by so many points, he didn't really have to do much in the second, third, or fourth quarter, and it didn't matter because he absolutely went off in the first quarter. They talked about it after the Bills game in week 1. Ah, Kyler's missing him. What's up with Marvin mm-hmm. Harrison Jr.? Are they going to get him the ball? XYZ. Yeah. Hey, everybody, it's okay. It was week 1 of NFL football. Way too many overreactions about that.
Yeah.
The Cardinals knew. Marvin Harrison knew. Kyler Murray knew. Boom, here it is. We see it. He absolutely dominated the game. Looked like a true number 1 receiver. It looked like Kyler Murray with D-Hop again from like 2020, 2021 era. And it looked good. It looked really good, I have to say. So the Cardinals fans, they should be excited. Marvin Harrison Jr., Gamer of the Week.
Maybach Marv, or whatever they were calling. Mm. Maserati Marv.
Maserati Marv.
No, funny thing about that game, too. Did you see the tweet on Twitter where they were like, oh, it was a picture of him and his dad as a kid. And it was like, oh, this kid just ran for, you know, the stats, 4 catches, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns in the NFL. And someone quote tweet was like, that's cool for the guy, but you shouldn't be letting this kid in the NFL. That could be some major injuries. just those good old Twitter moments where someone says something dumb.
Love Twitter, and it will always be no, Twitter. Definitely. It's not
I not tried X. To get X. I tried to get X on the movement last year. I can't stick to it. I had to force it. But next up on our awards, we got the Jody Dog of the Week. This one comes to us Monday night. Eagles Falcons. Our guy, Kirko Thuggins, making the drive down the field, throwing the tutty late in the game, beating the primetime Kirk Cousins allegations to take a dub Monday Night Football. Nothing better. He needs all the chains this week. He's in Atlanta. He probably went and got some wings. You know what I'm saying? Gotta love the guy. And then it's funny too. Johnny sent us a video. It was like Mexican Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the dude like, hey, like say this. He was like, Viva Mexico, you know, whatever else they were making them say. And I was calling him Kirk Primos.
That's funny. That's really funny. All right. So we got the next up. A minor setback for a major.
The Lions, they went 1-for-7 in the red zone against the Bucks. We talked about the Bucks being a surprising 2-0. The Lions going 1-for-7 in terms of touchdowns in the red zone.
Attributed to a Bucks win. It really kind of would have been a Bucks blowout had the Lions not had a nice fake punt during that game. And so good win for the Bucks, but the Lions, you know, they just kind of shot themselves in the foot. Jared Goff didn't have his best day. He threw the ball nearly 50 times. It just seems like the Lions got away from themselves a little bit. It was a weird game for them, and I expect that to be a minor setback and what will likely be a great season for those Lions. So minor setback, major comeback. That Lions offense as a whole, Ben Johnson, Jared Goff, Sam Laporta, all those dudes, David Montgomery. Yeah.
He's got me no fantasy points. I'm ready to ship him out. I need him to get back to last year's Sam Laporta.
I'm ready to ship him out.
But yeah, next up on the list, we got the No Cap Hats Off Award. You know, either something so crazy happened that you couldn't believe it, or something really good happened that it was like, man, greatest play I've ever seen. Clap it up for the guy. What do you got for us?
Okay, so this is not the ladder that you explained there that you described. Yeah. This is more of a
what can't believe something happened.
What the heck is happening? And it was so that a coach we saw if you were lip reading the Titans coach might have said some bad words when he asked his quarterback what he was doing. This goes to Will Levis, again, we gave it to him last week for the weird play he made against the Bears, and then we broke it down on the third down breakdown. Mm-hmm. We won't be doing that this week. We're just going to simply let it be a no-cap, hats-off play. But Will Levis, he's in the red zone. He's about to be sacked, and he's like trying to make a play. So he lateralizes it backwards to his running back. Like he throws it to him, but he throws it backwards while he's getting sacked. And then the running back doesn't catch it. The ball's on the ground. Ends up being a turnover for the Jets. And you could just see his head coach, Coach Callahan, on the sideline just going, what the are you doing? Like, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? Why? And it's just like the most memeable thing you've ever seen from a coach. It's very relatable, too, as a coach. I've had many of those moments myself. So I enjoyed that part of it just because it was someone else, not me. But Will Levis, what the heck are you doing? No cap, hats off, man.
Yeah, no, that's definitely not what you want to see. It brought back a video on Twitter with Kirk Cousins. He had the ball, the snap was really high, he caught it, and instead of like getting hit, he grabbed it, just handed it off to the running back, and that dude got clobbered by like three dudes in the backfield.
Oh man. All right. We got the Strahan Munoz Big Fellow Award here. So Jody, who's your Strahan Munoz Big Fellow Award winner this week?
I'm gonna give a quick shout out to the big fellow from the Chiefs, Wanya Morris. My guy had a touchdown last week. Thick six versus the Bengals. Had to give him his props. But this week's award winner, we got Deion Dawkins from the Bills. My man he's a baller in the pass pro, let me tell you. He gets them long arms. His kick step's insane, bro. There was one time it was like a corner blitz. My dude kicked out all the way out there, just put him in his place, got him locked down. He's good at getting up to the second level in the run game. They use him a lot in pools, which I think is kind of they could give that one to the guard. That would probably be better for me, but he's kicking around, running counter and whatnot, and he's always looking for work. You know what I mean? There's a lot of pass pro. If he doesn't get nobody, he's barreling into the guard with his block, or even in general, they kick around the edge on him. He'll get somewhere and throw someone out the way. It's fun to watch for sure.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So my Strahan Munoz Big Fellow Award winner this week goes to a man
by the name of Dennis Gardak. People, I'm gonna just take a wild guess.
What was that one more time?
Gardak.
Yeah. Dennis Gardak
of the Arizona Cardinals. All right. So if you
who he is, we'll just give you a quick rundown.
Don't know.
Of who this dude is. He's 30 years old. He played college football at West Virginia State and Sioux Falls. Okay. Small college guy. All right. Been in, trying to make it in the league for a while. This dude had 3 sacks on Sunday against the Rams. He had a forced fumble and he had 6 tackles. Just absolutely dominated the Rams O-line. And it was impressive. Like, he controlled the game. Had to give the dude a shout out. I mean, keep balling, Mr. Gardak, because you were killing him.
Oh, I'll be killing him. Yeah, no, that's a fun day for the defensive lineman for sure. 6 tackles alone is kind of crazy, and then the forced fumble to add on top of that's nice.
Yeah, he's more of an outside linebacker, but he's a pass rusher, so we'll give him the
edge rush.
Hand nod. Yeah,
that's the one thing about football with the change of pace. It's like, if you're outside linebacker, you're kind of an edge rusher, which is basically a D lineman. It's like,
yes,
you do everything at that point. You're just not interior. I think that's the big one. You're either a D tackle or you're edge. There's no other people in between no more. But next thing we got, who's cooking? The QB that's chefing up, some nice prime rib, medium rare, however you like it. Or if they're cooking on the dumpster fire, they got a rabbit from across the street. You know what I mean? It's nothing you want to eat, but they're trying to make things work. This week I went with Derek Carr, probably one of the most picked up dudes in fantasy. 2 weeks in a row went crazy. Last week he had 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, threw a pick. But Derek Carr making a name for himself. We were having a conversation a little bit ago. It was like, hey, Spencer Rattler might be his time to shine, and here we are. Derek Carr is going crazy. So I want to see what happens with that. 2-0. Yeah, definitely on people's radar. So
I've been telling people for years, Derek Carr isn't as bad as you think he is. He's okay. All right.
That's all
okay.
The stuff I see from the Raiders fans right now. Like, y'all wanted him gone. Now look at him.
My guy this week is Mayo Boy, Will Levis. All right. The face of mayonnaise at this point. He ain't cooking up anything good. I mean, normally when you cook with mayo, it cooks pretty well. But in this case, nothing he's cooking right now. It is not good. It's burnt. It's burnt right now, and you're looking at the fire burning, and you're doing one of these like surrender cobra. Oh no, what have I done? Yeah, that's a lot of what we see from Will Levis right now. Everyone's talking about Bryce Young getting benched. So that's kind of helping Will Levis, I think. Yeah, but true. By the same token, I would argue Will Levis has played maybe not as bad as Bryce, right? But he's made worse decisions even.
So, I think he gets like a solid half, and then the next half it's like downhill.
His decisions sometimes are just preposterous is what I would describe them as. It's just like, what are you doing? So yeah, we're going to give that to Who's Cooking or to Will Levis.
Yeah. And I'll briefly mention it. You kind of stole my thunder at the top, but I went with Bryce Young for the Boo Boo Evans Award winner simply because he got benched. It's the whole year, like I said, whole year running the game and a little bit of change, 2 weeks. And then they're like, you know what? Pull the plug. We've seen enough. Get Andy Dalton in there. Let's get you right for, you know, down the road, hopefully. So we'll see what happens. That could be a little comeback, man. You know what I mean? We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. It's time for one of my favorite segments that we do, the turnover on downs. Let's go. All right. So first down, I'm going to look at a trend that we're seeing in the NFL. All right. Let's pull up the tape. Let's pull up the tape.
Roll the tape.
All right. Sorry for the technical difficulties, everyone. Rough night over here. I can't get anything to work. My mic, my screen sharing, nothing works right now. But anyway, we're going to talk a little football here. You won't be able to see it if you're watching like you normally would. What we're going to talk is today and actually yesterday, there's been a lot of conversation actually through the first 2 weeks of the year about two high safeties. And everyone's freaking out about two high safeties as if they've never existed in football. So dumbest, like some of these conversations make me so mad. They're like, we should outlaw two high safeties. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Okay. Number
one,
what are we talking about? Outlawing two high safeties. Why? Like if you're perceiving some sort of defensive advantage, we suddenly have to take that away from defense, right? Like suddenly if the defense has any kind of advantage, it has to go away. That's what we're saying. That makes no sense. Right.
That's the worst part. Cause everyone complains like, oh, they take everything away from the defense. Which they would actually do again. Oh, was that? Is it working?
Was it? Nah. Anyway, yeah, so it's really dumb, right? Because everyone's like, oh, but there's really not this big advantage to the defense like everyone's saying. If you're a defense and you want to take away explosives, yeah, too high shell helps you, but it also means you have one less guy in the box. So the Cardinals game plan clearly against the Rams this week, and Chris Shula, they know he likes to stay in nickel personnel through the first week of the season, right? And so the Cardinals, you can't see it on the screen here, but they go 12 personnel, meaning one running back, two tight ends, right? They put the tight ends on the same side together, two receivers split out, two tight ends up to the left, true single back behind him, right? All right. The Rams are playing nickel defense, two high safeties. So they have seven in the box to account for eight players, right? If you visualize the 5-0 linemen plus the two tight ends and then the back, right? You're talking about eight guys in the true run fit. Seven blockers with the back. Well, the Rams with a two high safety, right? They've got two corners out on those two receivers, two high safety. That means they only have seven players left. Those seven players are in the box. So they're playing 7-on-8. They're playing a man down, right? The Cardinals make it real easy on themselves, right? And they say, okay, it's 2nd and 10. We know the Rams are going to be in this look, this too high shell, right? Yeah. No problem. We're going to run the ball. We're literally just going to run zone right down your face. Zone right down your face. And guess what they get? 16-yard gain.
Yeah.
So all the Mel Kuypers and all the people out there who are like cursing the too high shell, dude, tell offenses to run the football. Because the Cardinals were very successful this week, and the teams that start running the football against these two high looks, guess what they'll get those safeties to do? Creep back into the box.
Yeah, so, and you throw it over the
top. The whole conversation to me, it was unintelligent, quite frankly, and it was for TV, and I get it. It's stuff. But truthfully, there's no real advantage in playing a two high safety, and it's not like it hasn't existed for 40 plus years in the NFL. It's existed for a long time. So the idea of like calling for it to outlaw it because teams are running so much more of it, and NFL offenses aren't as explosive right now in the first 2 weeks, I just think is dumb. So I wanted to combat that narrative by showing you an offense in the Cardinals who are doing a good job against the too high look.
Yeah, no, that's definitely been going around about that. I mean, it's like you said, if it's a man look, like you could, and you got the advantage in the box, why not just, yeah, like they did, throw the blocking tight ends in there and let them get to the third level at that rate, because you got a free guy. It's easy money.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so second down on this turnover on down. We got my bet for the week. So last week, we got the Patriots at +3.5. I don't know. Is that what we did?
I think so. And it was good.
Yeah, at that rate, we made. I thought, but did the Chargers win by 5? I thought I pushed on something.
Yeah, no. The Chargers won 26-3. Man, you were good. You were rolling. You were right on the Patriots and the Chargers.
Oh, well, then I thought I pushed. Oh, yeah, 2-0 last week. Look at that.
Did it.
I thought I went 1-0-1. Hey, solid week for the boy. You know what I mean? So this
2-0.
This week, we're looking at Packers +2 versus the Titans. I like that. Malik Willis got it done last week. There's a chance Jordan Love might play this week. I'm still taking faith in these boys, especially our guy Will Levis. He might just shoot himself in the foot. I like that one.
You never know. You never know with that guy.
I like the Texans -2.5 versus the Vikings. That one sounds nice to me. We have, what else we have written down? The Chargers +1.5 versus the Steelers. Like that one a lot. We saw Quentin Johnson make some touchdown casts last week.
Don't start getting crazy.
Lastly, I have the Saints -3 versus the Eagles. I think all those sound nice to me. But if I had to choose one, I think Packers +2 versus the Titans is the one I go with. But those are four that I like.
I think I like Packers Titans. Yeah. All right, the third down breakdown, all right? And once again, won't be able to see the video here. I mean, we can try real quick, see if we can get it up. They might as well give it the old college try, see what happens, right? And are we live? Oh, it's gone. Okay, no, it's not going to happen. So we tried again. But what we're looking at, that Patriots-Seahawks game from last week that went to overtime. The Seahawks ended up winning. The Patriots were winning for a good chunk of the game. Okay, so the Seahawks, they're down 20-17 with a little over 2 minutes left in regulation. They get a critical 3rd-and-1, okay? So the first thing they're going to do on 3rd-and-1 is they're going to send DK Metcalf in motion to confirm that it's man, okay? Because if they know they're getting man, then it helps clean up what they're seeing on the outside, right? And it also clarifies the box look for the Patriots. So the motion out clarifies that it is man coverage for the Patriots, which means Seahawks are in one set with a tight end attached to the hip of a tackle, right? Back opposite of him. So that means they're playing with a 6-man surface, right? 5-0 lineman plus the tight end. And then the back makes 7 in that box, right? The Patriots are playing man with a man-free safety. So they also have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in the box, okay? And the Seahawks, they're just going to get big and run split zone, okay? And what split zone means is the O-line, they're blocking one way, and the Y is going to come back and kick out the other way, right? So after the motion, they get the snap, they confirm again that they're getting man. The Seahawks O-line does a really good job of just doubling up front, right? Okay. They hang on the doubles. You can see they double up on the interior defensive lineman for the Patriots, and then they're going to block out with the play side tackle all the way back across with the tight end, right? So it's everyone's zoning right, tight end's going back left to kick out the backside end. Yeah. And then they just get downhill. And because, again, they need a yard, they really don't even work up to the backers. They just double up the D lineman and drive them to go get that yard. And it ends up being a 6 yard gain. This is really popular now. Like, people are, you know, a lot of people are, you would call it duo, right? Where you're not actually working up to the backers. You're just doubling everything. So yeah. it's split duo, if you want to call it that, right? But they're really all the O linemen are working together to move right, come back across with the Y. And it's a big time gain for a first down on a critical third and one that ends up leading to the Seahawks tying it, forcing overtime, and then winning an OT. So you could argue one of the more critical third downs of the game. And they get it by just getting big on people. And, you know, you could tell I was in a mood this week when I was going through getting prepared pod. I wanted to see the run game, baby.
Yeah.
I want to see people run the football well. And there's some teams that are doing it right in the NFC West. The Seahawks and the Cardinals are doing it well.
Yeah, that sounds fun. The how you going big on big. I don't know if you remember that song or not, but that's what it reminded me of.
Big on big, down. Dude. Yeah. Bob.
Fourth down on the turnover on downs. We got my bad beat. TB kind of mentioned this at the top with Maserati Marv. I was lucky to be on the good side of this, but I was instantly like, oh, I already messed up. My thing's chalked. I'm not going to have a chance. So he had his line for receptions was 4.5. I took the under because I was like, you know, maybe it's like a Brandon Ayuk situation where basically anything under 4, it's like kind of nice. He probably won't get the ball that much. They use Debo. They like running it anyways. Like he said, first quarter, my man had 4 catches, 2 touchdowns, and I was like, oh, this one's done. He already beat. He's gonna beat it by the time it's halftime. Like, he's gonna have like 8 catches. On the day. I survived. Don't get me wrong, but I could see if people had the more on that one, they're just sitting there the whole game mad because he just needs one catch. I could understand that. Mm-hmm. But now, one that did happen to me was Joe Mixon rushing yards. I would have. If he would have hit 70 rushing yards, I would have cashed in for 220.
Oh, no.
But, bro, this guy started the game. 16-yard rush. I was like, ooh, we're coming up quick. I'm going to get it. Easy money. I didn't know he got hurt. We stopped watching at halftime. But he had, I think, 21 yards at half. And I was like, bro, he started the game with 16. How does he not get another?
You're like, what
happened? Like, I was ready. Yeah, and so I was just sitting there bad mouthing him the rest of the night. And then I found out he like hurt his ankle or something. And I was like, oh, now it all makes sense.
Dude, speaking of getting hurt, I got to give you the coaching update of the week right here.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So last week, you know, I told you we were beat up. We had a good game plan. All right, man. This is really the no cap hats off play of the week right here. It happened in our game. Our game plan's working to perfection, Jody. Up 18 to 6. Cooking them.
Ooh, a half.
Cooking these cats.
In general.
Second quarter, late second quarter.
Okay.
They try and throw a screen. Our D lineman sees it, reads screen, retraces, picks it off.
Ooh, big fell over.
Running through the end zone, about to score. Leon Lett style lets the little dude come from behind, punch the ball out.
Oh, at least fumbles. That happened. I thought it was going to be a DeSean Jackson.
Fumbles, right? Yeah. And then it gets out the back of the end zone. So it's a touchback. Goes back to them. So instead of going up 24-6 with an opportunity to get the 2 points to go up 26-6 before the half, we give the ball back to them. We recover pretty well. We force a fourth down with 14 seconds left. We're thinking they're going to punt. They come out. They kind of look like they're punting. Then they get into a regular formation. They get a bad matchup of one of our dudes, like one of our linebackers on their best receiver, and they throw just a vertical route at him, and he doesn't never just tackle. He just doesn't even like tackle the catch, and they score before the half, and it's 18-12 before halftime instead of 24-6. All because our dude didn't put the ball away, right? So then in the second half, my best corner hurt MCO.
Mm.
Best safety already out. Concussion. Ooh. Next best safety. Or there's two other kids that play safety for us that are pretty good, but one of them rolls up his ankle, carted off the field.
Man, it is tough. Oh.
Is he okay? So we're down. He actually had a really bad high ankle sprain. They thought it might have been fractured. He's good, though. He's good.
Okay. That sucks. All right.
So we end up with – finish the game with two linebackers having to play DB. Three Ooh. Real DBs, including one of them that's a backup who hadn't played a lot up to this point.
Yeah.
And then a linebacker who's never played varsity football in his life.
Oh.
That's how we finish the game. So we end up losing the game 38-26. And just the injury bug, bro, it cooked us. And but the game plan was solid. It was nasty. We were getting them on these we were getting them on double threes, double fives, double mugging the A gap with both of our backers,
uh-huh.
and then either dropping them out, going, or setting little pick rush games for them.
Ooh, that's fun. I would love that.
Dude, it was so fun. My pops watched the game. He was calling me Mike Zimmer. but we were having fun. We were getting after him. It was a good game. Kids played really hard. I was really proud of them. It was a tough opponent, and they just got the best of us. They started finding matchups in the second half. We didn't have any other answers. We didn't have other dudes who could cover. We were so hurt.
You should have swapped out their jersey numbers. Been like, hey, make it look like you're good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, our kid, one of our kids who hurt himself with the MCL, you know, he was trying to play through it. And,
hey, dog.
But he just was hurting. You know, he wasn't the same kid. So tomorrow's game, you know, we play a bigger opponent. They're a bigger school than us, right? They're a whole classification above us.
Oh, okay.
They've been looking pretty good on film. So they're a tough opponent. Their offense, the toughest part about them, they tempo. They snap the ball every 12 seconds. Oh,
okay.
They get 90 plays a game of offense.
Chip Kelly.
So, yeah, so they're rolling. And so we got some stuff in for them. We got one word tempo calls in. We got the scuba call in. You know what I'm saying?
Scuba Steve.
Hey, scuba. So we'll be ready to go. But kids had a good week of practice. I feel pretty good about it. And we got some dudes back. Like we're a little healthier. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll be able to compete with them. And then, you know, who knows? It's their homecoming. They're really taking us lightly, I think.
Okay.
They think that we're like dog water.
Roll over you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're taking us lightly. So I think we got a shot. I think we got a shot to have some fun tomorrow. That's really what I'm looking forward to.
Speaking of college or high school football, I'm actually going to the Shaq game tomorrow. They're playing. No way. We'll see how that turns out. Yeah.
City championship, baby. Got to get it.
Yeah. They smoked TV last week.
I saw it.
Yeah, bring it home.
Bring it home. Chaparral, Puma football. Let's go. All right. Banger of the week, Jody. Take us out with the banger of the week. What you got?
Yeah. So I was struggling before coming in. I was like, man, I still don't know what happened for my banger, blah, blah, blah. I was like, let's see what happens. And then it hit me. I was like, I need to go get coffee. I got a long drive home, you know. So last week apparently was coffee day, one of the days. I don't know. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. Couldn't tell you. But they had a deal at Jamba Juice on these coffees that they sell. So it was $3.99. It was called the Mocha Mood. Pretty fire. You know, chocolatey coffee. Can't complain. And then today when I went in, I had to pay full price. Don't get me wrong. But it was still worth it. They had a different flavor. All everything. They had one just called pumpkin coffee. And I was like, you know what? Let's try that guy. I liked it, you know. Tastes just like a nice pumpkin pie with some coffee on there. I don't know about you. I'm a big pumpkin pie guy. Love it. Throw some whipped cream on the pot. Oh.
I do enjoy pumpkin pie, but just not as a coffee. I don't know why.
There wasn't as much of a hint on the coffee as there was with the mocha. So I don't know if that changes your mind, but it was good. I like both of them.
Okay.
Jamba Juice. Never expect to have good coffee, but there it is.
Fair enough. Week 3 slate before we go.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it.
What game are you most looking forward to? Let's go. Let's see what we got. Giants, Browns, Eagles, Saints, Texans, Vikings, Broncos, Buccaneers, Packers, Titans, Bears, Colts, Chargers, Steelers. Ooh, Chargers, Steelers.
Bears, Colts.
Chargers, Steelers is a good one, dude. That's two really good, grimy head coaches.
Very true.
Dolphins, Seahawks, Panthers, Raiders, 49ers, Rams is an interesting game because both teams are coming off a loss. The Rams are 0-2. They cannot afford to go to 0-3, but the Niners don't want to be sitting at 1-2 either. Like, they got to go too. Both hurt. We'll see. Both teams will be tested depth-wise. Lions, Cardinals, very interesting game. Very interesting game at the same time. Yeah. Ravens, Cowboys, another one. Cowboys coming off a bad loss. They can't afford to go to 1-2. But the Ravens are 0-2. They can't afford to go to 0-3. So very similar as that 49ers-Rams game. Chiefs-Falcons is the Sunday night game. And the Monday night game, we got a doubleheader. Jaguars-Bills and Commanders-Bengals. I'm thinking I really am interested in Ravens-Cowboys, Rams-49ers, Lions-Cardinals. Unfortunately, all three of those games are on at the same time.
Yeah.
They're all the late kick, the latest kick in the afternoon. And then Chargers Steelers is the morning game that I am very intrigued by.
I think Packers Titans could be good just because we'll see who's playing for QB for one for the Packers. And then I think whoever it is, it's going to have to be through the run game. You know what I mean? Telling to see if the Packers could overcome adversity if they go Malik Willis. I like that, like you said, Chargers, Steelers. That one's a pick 'em right now. It's plus one. I guess I said, what, 1.5, 2? Earlier.
I like the other one that's intriguing to me is Eagles Saints.
That one, yeah. That one's interesting because Saints could.
Are the Saints for real?
Yes. And then it's like, you know, are the Eagles slipping? Are they reverting to what they ended with? You know what I mean?
Also, we somehow made it through this whole pod without even mentioning tonight's game. Jets, Patriots.
Rodgers!
It was that much of a snooze fest. Rodgers and the Jets kind of cruised their way through.
With it. Yeah.
They won 24-3. We finally saw Drake May in a real NFL game. You know, it was okay.
The radio when that happened, I was like, ah, garbage time. He our guy, what, Rodney Harrison said it himself. He's like, oh, it's garbage time. I was like, all right, let me
get out of here. The game was not of great note, but yeah, the Jets kind of cruised to a 24-3 victory. So that's the official start of week three. And we're excited for it. So hope you're all watching. And you'll come back to listen on the week three pod. Hopefully my technical difficulties tonight didn't take that option away from you.
Computer's got the injury bug.
Yeah. My computer's on the Rams roster is what it is. The Rams are the 49ers right now. But on that note, we'll let our guy, Ray Ray, take us out.
Something special. I ain't really been the same since the day I met you. I know we fuss, I know we fight, but that's alright, cause I ain't trying to do that with no one else. Girl, you my type, and I know you like, and you know what I like, phone calls late at night, baby girl, you doing it right, damn, here I go again, I just been stuck on you, you heroin, I blow with the wind, and it's over again, look what I did. Change. I'm a little older, but I'm still the same. Shit is a trick, why people be playing and really be listening to what I be saying. Damn, I mean I came a long way, girl. I hope you listening to what I got to say, girl. I ain't trying to play these games, man, I'm done with that. And if you want me to stop it, then I'll be done with rap. I'm having fun with that, I'm really doing it. Look at me, I had a dream, now I'm pursuing it. I'm reminiscing about the times that we used to have, and everything that we used to do when we used to laugh. It's been a minute, I wanna know how you been, though. Close my eyes and hope you knocking at my window. 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 Yeah.
It's gonna keep going on. The world gonna keep going on. Frustration gonna keep going on. Anger gonna keep going on. Till we finally go back down to the simplest word. Love.
If
I got you and you got me, then we found a treasure. We gon' last forever, even if we not together. This that feeling you can't replace or replicate. Memories, they be hitting me like a heavyweight. Gotta keep it straight, straight, straight. You say you leaving and I'm like, wait, wait, wait. Gotta make a play, what do I say? Where do I go? What do I do? And I just feel like I'm losing my time, cause all of the time I'm thinking about you. You my boo, what do I do? Girl, I don't know. I'm still waiting for you to come to a show. So I guess I just be writing till my fingers bleed. You know I got you whenever you in your time of need. Another poem to express myself. I'm trying to let my guard down. I can't help myself, I mean that. And I'm trying to let you know I need that. Tell them other clowns I trying to spit game, ease back, hey. I mean, I got a lot I wanna say. But for now, this a do, sit back and press play. I'm reminiscing about the times that we used to have, and everything that we used to do when we used to laugh. It's been a minute, I wanna know how you been, though. Close my eyes and hope you knocking at my window. Another night, knocking at my window. Another night, knocking at my window. Knocking at my window. Knocking at my window. Another night. Knocking at my window. Knocking at my window. Yeah.